Well, it's actually been a while since I spoke here in our local congregation. Last time I was scheduled to do it, Mr. McCready was coming through town and asked if he could speak, and of course, I let Mr. McCready speak. Yeah, I shouldn't have messed with that, but now I did. There we go. Okay. The last time I spoke here, I spoke about miracles, and I said as I was leaving that the next time I spoke, I would speak about an aspect of being a Christianity that's even better than miracles. Just a quick review. Miracles are unique in that they can't be explained. A miracle is defined as an extraordinary and astonishing happening that is not comprehensible by natural or scientific laws, and is therefore attributed to the presence and action of an ultimate or divine power. It's a bending of natural laws, a defying of everything that we understand about the world around us. Miracles are incredible events, and there's no doubt that God has performed miracles throughout history many times to help his people through hard times. In my last sermon, we looked at some of the miracles mentioned in the Bible, including the parting of the Red Sea, the floating axe head, and the lady whose food was about to run out. I'm sure you realize we just barely touched the subject of miracles in that sermon. Mr. Nick today talked about the water that came out of the rock. I bet if we were to sit down and just start listing miracles that we could think of, we would fill up a notebook full of them. God is a God of miracles, and there are many well-documented events that have taken place throughout history, and I'm sure, as I said last time, many of you have probably had some happen in your life. However, if we research it a little bit deeper, we may find that God's preference is not to deliver us through miracles. Not that he's against miracles, but that may not be his preferred way of helping us to get through life. You see, God's given us a way to live that if we are willing to follow it, will lead to something even better than miracles. I'm talking about blessings. Blessings from God. Now, before we go too far into this, I want to make a small caveat. And that is, I'm going to speak about blessings in a pretty general sense. Just like we did miracles, we're not going to cover every blessing. And you know, some people might think, well, we didn't talk about the blessings of this or the blessings of that. Well, there's no way I could fully cover that subject in a sermon. Part of my desire when I put together a message is to try to inspire you to do your own studying, to look into it a little bit more, to realize, maybe just to bring back to memory what God has done in the past and help you to want to go through it and look at it a little bit more. I'm in a class with some pastors one evening every week, and one of them this past week made the comment that he was a little disappointed that the United Church of God has asked us to cut service time back to an hour and a half. And his reasoning was he can't thoroughly cover a subject in 40, 45 minutes. Well, I think we all know you can't thoroughly cover any subject in an hour and a half, 4 hour sermon. These are things that we need to spend time on, researching, studying, and making it a part of our daily walk with God. So part of what I'm doing here is just hoping to inspire you to look a little bit deeper into this. Hopefully the miracle sermon did that for you, because as I said, we barely scratched the surface. The Bible is a book full of miracles. So that being said, the message I want to get across to you is this. Living God's way of life leads to blessings that can have an impact not just on a situation, but on your entire life. Think of it this way. Would you rather receive the miracle of a healing or be blessed with good health? Right? Would you rather that God use a miracle to pull you out of bankruptcy, or you be so blessed financially that he wouldn't have to? Don't get me wrong, miracles have their place. But we want to look at reasons that living a blessed life is better than having miracles. First of all, blessings prevent crisis, while miracles deliver us from crisis. You'll remember from the miracles that we covered in the last sermon, they all had one common thread. It was a crisis. People, as the saying goes, had their backs against the wall. It was a time of desperation. Either God was going to step in, intervene, perform a miracle and save them, or they were going to die. The Israelites against the Red Sea, the widow who was preparing the last meal for her and her son, the widow who was in debt and the collectors were coming to take her sons and put them in slavery. All these people were at a desperate point in their life where God was either going to perform a miracle or their lives were going to end. They needed supernatural intervention in their lives to preserve them at that moment, and that is what God did. Miracles are the perfect solution to situations like that, but for the everyday, blessings are better. Number two, a blessing is always a more abundant supply than a miracle. A lifelong blessing is more abundant supply than a miracle. Miracles are designed to give you just what you need, just when you need it, to get you out of a situation. It will always be less of a supply than a life that is filled with blessings. And number three, miracles are a temporary fix, but blessings are a permanent solution. Because miracles require the bending of natural laws, at some point the natural order of things must be restored. You know, God was able to part the Red Sea to let the Israelites go through. That Red Sea could not still be parted today. God had to let the natural laws come back into place. And of course, we know he used that to help defeat the Egyptians. But that's not still split today. God released it and let the natural laws take back over. How dependent are you on miracles in your life? If you are constantly praying for a miracle, then you are probably living from crisis to crisis. If you need God to every month supply you with, you know, some special kick to get you your rent money or whatever other needs you have, you're living your life from crisis to crisis. That's not how God wants us to live. He wants us to experience blessings. God is a God of blessings. Blessings, unlike miracles, are natural results of living a certain way of life. These things just happen when you live this way of life. God doesn't have to bend any natural laws, and he doesn't have to make things happen that you can look at and be like, I don't know how that happened, but we got through it. No, blessings are continual for living a certain way of life. So how do we get a life of blessings? How do we get to the point where our life is so blessed? There's a way of life that needs to be followed to lead to those blessings. You know, I've mentioned before that there are people who we'll hold this up and say there's a secret code in here. There's a secret code in the Bible. And if you can just decode it, your life will be so blessed. There's been booklets written about it and movements and organizations that have formed over the fact that there's a secret code in the Bible. If you follow it, you'll be blessed. There is a code in the Bible that if you follow it, will lead to blessings. And it's not a secret. It's just not the answer that some people want. Let's turn over to James 1, starting in verse 23. James 1, starting in verse 23, and I don't think I'm going to tell you anything that you don't already know, but I'm just hoping to bring back some stuff to memory. James 1, verse 23 says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." There's your secret code. I don't think it could be any plainer. It's not hidden at all. Look into the perfect law of liberty and be a doer of the work, and you will be blessed. Luke 11, verse 27 and 28. Let's turn back there. An interesting exchange takes place here. Luke 11, starting in verse 27. "And it happened, as he spoke these things, that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, 'Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which nursed you.' But he said, 'More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.'" Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Blessings are a direct result of hearing the word of God, believing it, and making it a part of your life. This is a concept that was given to the nation of Israel when they were first being formed into a nation. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 28. This is a section that has the heading of Blessings for Obedience. Deuteronomy 28, starting in verse 1. God here speaking directly to the nation of Israel says, "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all of his commandments, which I command you today." So God sets this up pretty plainly. Here's what you need to do. And that is, diligently obey the voice of God, observe carefully all of his commandments. Says if you going on here, "which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth." That is quite a promise when you think about it. A brand new nation that God was building, and he's telling them, "I'm going to set you high above all the nations that already exist." We've seen this in our own nation today, which is, of course, a continuation of the ancient nation of Israel. Our nation is one of the youngest nations in modern history. We're less than 250 years old as a nation. Compare that to the nation of China, which traces their history back over 6,000 years. They have been a nation. Yet our nation quickly rocketed to the spot of being high above all nations. You know, sometimes you might wonder, why does the world hate us so much? Seems like everybody hates the United States. I honestly believe it's jealousy. I really do. Nothing that we've done. These are blessings from God, of course. But we've rocketed past all these nations. There are nations on this earth that have buildings that are older than our nation. Now, anyone who's paying attention, of course, can see that those blessings are starting to fade. We recognize that the blessings of the United States are a part of the blessings that were promised to the seed of Abraham. However, these are conditional blessings that we're losing because of disobedience. Verse 2, let's go on here in Deuteronomy 28. Verse 2, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Why? Why would these blessings come upon us and overtake us? Because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. There's a reason that these blessings were coming. Let's go read through some more of this and see what types of blessings God was talking about. Starting in verse 3, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of the ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. As we go through here, think about this. What is missing in this? Nothing. God was going to bless every aspect of this nation. Verse 5, blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. They will not be able to find enough paths to get away from you. They will realize right away, we have made a terrible mistake. This was not the country we should have come against. Verse 8, the Lord will command the blessing on you and your storehouses and all which you set to your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Verse 10, then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of the ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give you rain on your land in due season, and bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. We've, of course, blown right past that one, haven't we? Verse 13, and the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you shall be above only and not be beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. So you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you to this day, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods and serve them. These blessings are evident in our nation. God has really opened the blessings to us as a nation. But unfortunately, they're conditional. It's not unfortunate that they're conditional, because that would be the best way for our nation to exist, to obey God, to fear God, to know God's way and to live it. It's unfortunate because we're not following through on what we're supposed to do. We're not holding up our part of the bargain. I'm not going to go into it, but if you continue reading Deuteronomy 28, the next section talks about the curses for disobedience. What we're seeing is that there are blessings for hearing, knowing, and living the Word of God. This can apply to every area of our life. God gives us ways to live, and if we follow it, either as a nation or individuals, which is our responsibility no matter what our nation does, which way it goes, what rules they adopt, what their beliefs become, we're still individually responsible for being obedient to God. It is a choice, and that choice is, will we be blessed or will we be cursed? You know, many times I look at our nation and I think, I wish they would do this different. I wish they would change about this. I wish I need to be looking at myself. I do wish this stuff for our nation. I would love to see our nation become the nation of God, to be set up as that model nation for all other nations to look to. But I need to look at myself. Am I that model person that demonstrates what a Christian is to the rest of the world? Am I living my life as I should? So we have that choice. Will we be blessed or cursed? Let's look at just a couple of examples here. Financial blessings. We all would like to be blessed financially. God does not want us to have to pray for miracles constantly just to get by. He doesn't want us to end up in that crisis once a month or however often. Instead, he gives us principles to live by that if we follow them, we will experience financial blessings. Now, we're probably not going to be millionaires and billionaires, and that's not because God's way doesn't lead to something like that. It might be something in us that God knows if I give that to them, that's going to be more harm than good for them. But God's way does lead to financial blessings. First of all, we're to work for a living. You can't go anywhere right now without seeing help wanted signs up. And signing bonuses. Frisch is over the hill here, has a $250 signing bonus for a restaurant because they can't get employees. Because right now, some people are finding that they can make just as much or maybe even more money sitting at home and not working. And that's very unfortunate. It's doing some very bad things to our economy right now. But he does expect us to work, and then God will bless the work of our hands. We just read that in Deuteronomy 28, verse 12. He said, you do the job, and I will bless the work of your hands. In 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10, we read that if a person is not willing to work, they shouldn't be allowed to eat. That might sound a little harsh, but, you know, sometimes we have to do things to our kids that seem a little harsh to teach them lessons. That's what God does. Financial success comes from putting in the effort. Another principle that leads to financial success is being a generous person. I think we're a very generous group in here. There are many natural consequences to being generous. Not only does it help the person that you are generous toward, but it does a great deal for the person who practices generosity as well. There have been many studies, and they've determined that generous people are generally happier, more relaxed, have stronger personal relationships, and are confident. That's a natural reaction to being generous towards other people. And we know that God blesses the generous person. Let's turn over to Luke 6, verse 38. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. God has set in motion natural laws that take place that help you when you're a generous person. And you know, God can give you so much more than you could ever save on your own. If you're keeping it, thinking, no, this is mine, I work for this, I want this, and not helping out those in need, you're denying yourself a blessing. Luke 6, verse 38, Jesus Christ says, give, and it will be given to you. How much? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. Think about that. Now, I don't know why I think of flour when I read this, because I can remember helping my mom cook when I was a kid, and you know, she would some recipes you had to really shake that flour down and sometimes mash it down in there and make sure it was really compact because you needed that full amount. This is what we're being told about the blessings. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, really all the spaces that could be filled up with the blessing will be filled up, and then overrunning even beyond what the cup would hold. That's a good amount of blessings. For the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. So you'll notice once again, there's a tremendous blessing that's mentioned there. But just like the curses for disobedience, the opposite is that God will only bless you as much as you're willing to be generous and bless other people with what He's given you. He says, whatever measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Health blessings. If we abuse our bodies, we can receive a miracle of healing. Now, I'm not saying everyone who needs a miracle of healing has abused their body, but we can abuse our bodies to the point where we need a miracle of healing. But if the root of the problem isn't dealt with, if it's your diet, if it's you not exercising, if it's you not getting enough sleep, that problem's just going to come back. You're going to have it again. And then we'll need another miracle. Leviticus 11 lists the clean and unclean animals. God created man and He created the animals, and He has decided which ones we should use as food. Sometimes we make the mistake of saying clean and unclean foods. There are no unclean foods. There are clean and unclean meats. And the unclean meats were never intended to be used as food. Some He created for food, some not. To maintain our health, we should only eat what God tells us we should eat. I don't know how often this is the case, but I worked with somebody one time that had a heart attack. And the first thing the doctor told him was, you need to stop eating pork. It's bad for your heart. And I thought, well, if it's bad for your heart, maybe you should never be eating it. Now, of course, some people get up and eat 18 slices of bacon every day for their whole life and live to be 130 years old. It's not always going to work that way with everybody, but God gives us these guidelines. It's like your car owner manual. God says, or General Motors says, here's how you take care of your car. You put oil in here, and you put transmission fluid here, and you don't mix them up. And there's a reason for that. They know what works best for your car. God knows what works best for our body. So He's given us the owner's manual here. And He tells us what to put in our bodies and what not to put in our bodies. And we can have blessings of health if we follow His laws. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. Let's turn over there. First Corinthians 6, starting in verse 19. We read, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We have a responsibility to treat our bodies as something special because they are something special. They are the temple of God. A cup to hold God's grace. When we take care of the physical body as well as spiritually, then we receive the blessings for doing so. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8 tells us there's value in exercising. That we should be active. We should be mobile. We should be treating these bodies as they need to be treated. We need to be staying as healthy as we can. When we believe God's word and follow its instructions, it will teach us how to eat, exercise, and enjoy emotional health that works like a medicine. God would rather keep you healthy through His blessings than heal you through miracles. And then there are spiritual blessings. Again, as I mentioned at the beginning here, I'm just barely touching these subjects. But let's look at some of the spiritual blessings. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. What are these spiritual blessings? They include forgiveness of sin. Ephesians 1 verse 7, just down a few verses. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. They include wisdom and understanding. Going on here in verse 8 and 9 tells us that he gives wisdom and prudence and makes known to us the mystery of his will. It also includes eternal life. Verse 11 speaks of an eternal inheritance. These are the blessings that come. Obeying God leads to all kinds of blessings, both now, in this lifetime, and in the future. There are some blessings that will come at a later date. Jesus delivered his longest sermon, called the Sermon on the Mount, and he began by identifying scenarios that lead to blessings. These are known as the Beatitudes. Let's turn over there, Matthew 5. Matthew 5, and we'll look at these blessings that are produced by living our lives for God. And the thing about some of these blessings is that they are delayed. There's no instant gratification. We must believe God and let that motivate us to live our lives the correct way. Matthew 5, starting in verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. To be poor in spirit is to be empty of self and full of God. This is about being humble. Realizing that of ourselves, we're nothing. If we're poor in spirit, we recognize the need to have God in our lives, and the promise is the kingdom of heaven. What better promise could you be looking for? Matthew 5, verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Mourning means that we care deeply about spiritual things. It means we have a sensitivity to sin. It means we're remorseful for our disobedience. As we have a sensitivity for it, we mourn for the world around us. We're also remorseful for what we've done that has caused the death of Christ. It means having a sense of concern and sadness for the world as we watch it fall deeper and deeper under Satan's sway. Not that we sit there and we think, oh, this person needs to get their comeuppance, and this group over here, I hope they just... No. We realize, except for our calling, except for the Spirit of God, which has called us out of this world and shows us God's way of life, we would be caught up in some of those same things, more than likely. We mourn for them. And we're told that if we mourn for them, we shall be comforted. Matthew 5 and verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meek people are happy and in control of their lives. They have learned to imitate Christ in their actions and reactions. The meek are not easily offended and would rather forgive many than get even with one. Meekness is an attitude that we need to develop. And the blessing for being meek is to inherit the earth. That means we'll be children of God to receive that inheritance. Matthew 5, verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. To hunger and thirst for righteousness is to actively, purposefully live a life that imitates the life of Christ. With every fiber of your being, you want to be like Christ. You want to learn the way of God. You want to live the way of God. This includes studying and self-examinations and making sure that we're learning and living the way of God would have us live. Daily, every day, examining our actions through the day. Did we do what was right? If that is our desire, we shall be blessed to be filled with that which we hunger and thirst. God says, if you're going to hunger and thirst after righteousness, I'm going to fill you with it. But we've got to truly hunger and thirst for it. Matthew 5, verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. To be merciful is to be caring and compassionate. If you have a merciful heart, you have learned to truly be compassionate for those around you, to genuinely care for the suffering, the struggling, the ignorant, the lost, and the needy. It's not hard to find people in this life who need mercy. Satan's world is a rough world. We all need mercy, and the blessing to be merciful is that we will obtain mercy. Matthew 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The pure in heart are living the truest form of Christianity. They have learned the difference between spiritual things and things that are of the world. The things which are truly important and the things which are not. What are we getting caught up in? What's wrapping up our lives? Their motives are pure, their heart is right, and their desires rest in things that are part of the heart of God. Some people struggle their whole life to see what is their purpose. What's God's purpose for them? The pure in heart get to see God and understand Him profoundly. What an incredible blessing. Matthew 5, verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. And if that's His character, and we're supposed to be like Him, then shouldn't peace be a huge part of our life? We should strive to work for the same goal. To be a peacemaker means to engage in peaceful conversations. We're not argumentative. When peace begins to leave a conversation, we strive to bring it back. We don't let things just keep getting heated and heated and build and grow. We stop. We realize the problem. We try to bring peace back into the situation. A peacemaker is skilled at making repairs needed for peace to return. To be a peacemaker is to be aligned with God. And that is why peacemakers are called the children of God. Matthew 5, verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The darker the earth gets, the more the world gets away from God's way of life, the more it falls under Satan's sway, the more you and I are going to stand out. Christians have been persecuted since the beginning of time. Living the way of God means that we're going against the way of the world. And as Satan's way becomes more and more popular and accepted, it's going to take someone who is truly called to go the way of God. The reward for this is the kingdom of God. Again, that's our goal, right? We all want to be in the kingdom of God. We want to be God's children. We want to be a part of His family, a spiritual part of His family. These bodies that God has given us are amazing, but they wear out. They get old. Things hurt. Things stop working. We wish for younger days. I was laying on the floor last night working on this sermon, typing on a computer, and I got done, and I started to get up. I immediately thought, man, when I was younger, I would just like jump right up. I'd spring up and be ready to go. Took me a little while. Things stiffen up, and you're like, wow, this doesn't move like it used to. We look forward to a time when we will be in God's kingdom. If we're persecuted for living God's way of life, we're in good company. We read on here, Matthew 5, verse 11 and 12, "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake." You know, I think about that phrase, falsely for my sake, and I hope that the time comes when I'm persecuted that it is falsely. I think of Daniel, when they tried so hard to get Daniel in trouble, and it says the only way they could get Daniel in trouble was if they got him to do something that had him worshiping God. I hope our relationship is that pure. Verse 12, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." That's the company we will be in. Following God's way of life will not prevent us from needing miracles from time to time. As I said, God is a God of miracles. That's how He deals with events, and there will be certain events that will take place in our life where we'll need a miracle from time to time. And it's great to know that God has that, that He works that way with His people. Miracles are incredible events that can take place in a person's life. They can literally be a godsend when needed. Miracles are fun, exciting, and out of the ordinary, and God still performs miracles in the lives of those who live as He prescribes. On the other hand, blessings are incredible events that can take place in a person's life, but blessings are a result of a way of life. They are a result of living God's way of life. They don't require a crisis. In fact, in many times, they prevent a crisis. We have seen that there are blessings now for living God's way of life. There are future blessings which will come from living God's way of life. We look forward to inheriting that kingdom. I encourage you to seek out God's way of life in every aspect of your life, to seek it out, to make sure, are we living our life as God would have us to live our lives? Hunger and thirst for it. Make it your number one priority. Then you will experience a life full of God's blessings.